Should be recording
there.
The fiddling around.
Oh, okay. We're rolling.
We're rolling.
And,
is it rolling, Bob?
We're rolling. Okay.
Now, in terms of the direction.
Well, it depends if we're going to engage our audience.
Do that. But as long as you can hear me, is what I'm saying. Can you hear me?
Ken, I can hear you.
Entertained enough.
Brent, can you give me a sound little talk?
Brent tends to lean back and sort of reads it. Well,
I know.
How far away he is.
No. Well, you're leaning back.
I find you guys intimidating, so I need to have some space, you know?
They have glasses now.
Anyway.
Actually, Ken suggested in the last podcast that I intimidate you. Or...
Yeah, I recall that. He was saying that I was intimidated by women.
So it's one of the things I'd like to do tonight is kind of sort that out, see if we can work it out so that you two are comfortable together. Or that Brent is comfortable with you.
How can we always decide... texted you this morning and you didn't mention that.
Do we have a theme? Okay, well, first of all, this is episode 15.
Yes. Episode 15
of Gavage. And we're here at the Imperial Pub live on January 11th.
Your birthday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That was a cackle. Okay.
Well, it's the only time I throw in the date. And it's January 11th.
Yeah. And I hear it's a closet geek, sorry, Brent's mother's birthday as well, and he skipped out on that party too.
This is very important to me.
Yeah.
And,
who should be honored, me or our listeners, or who, that you guys would show up on your birthday?
Well, it could be a sign of fear.
Yes.
That, you know, we fear the wrath of Ken. Or we just respect the podcast. And
okay. If I'm not here, you badmouth me on the show and then put it out on the internet.
That's true.
Yeah. And then I got to defend myself.
And I did just edit the last podcast, and I figured you'd have some comments, so I didn't want to be the one getting badmouthed, so I felt I needed to be here too.
It's safer to be here.
It is safer.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Now, speaking of the last podcast, I would like to start off this episode with an apology.
Oh.
To both of you and to our listeners for being a bit of an asshole the last show. I was pretty drunk. And I found when I get drunk, I like to have a toast.
Because
it takes me to a really nice level.
Yep.
I feel really good. And I sort of get on a roll and I don't care what I say or how I say it. And I think I was a little bit, just a tad.
Well,
obnoxious on the last
skin.
Episode. Said more than perhaps I should have said.
Well, I mean, it edited okay. I mean...
I still sounded like an asshole.
I mean, that's harsh.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't say decent.
No, you took all those parts out.
I did take a lot of that out.
All right. Okay, thank you. I should be thanking you as well.
There's just a couple fucking Brents, but that's fine. That's what the show's
actually,
all about.
I think he managed to say fuck you to every single person that was here or could be listening.
Actually, right off the bat, I think, if I remember.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right, well, let's put that behind us.
And it is last year,
we're moving on to a new year.
And
I'd also like to say, because Brent won't think of this, but I'm more of a gentleman type, thank you very much for editing the last show. And I think our listeners appreciate it.
I already said thank you to her when she was getting
prepared, but we weren't recording. This is... We're recording now. People are hearing this. They're not hearing that part, all right?
And did you importantly, did you like my music?
Well, I thought it was a great...
That was a good choice.
Yeah? I thought of you guys, and I thought of this place, and my, you know, picking that piece of music.
It was a nice touch.
Yeah,
it was good. So you're happy about it. You feel good. You feel part of the team
I
now.
Do,
and
I do.
That's kind of what we wanted to do. This is true mentors create that kind of a feeling where you can feel, gee, I'm so
and
lucky those guys picked me to be the intern for this show. Thank God for blessings like that.
Exactly. And, you know, I know that I bombarded you with a lot of questions and, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? Which order? Where should we go?
How do you know if it's hot?
Yeah. How do you know if it's hot?
I go for the numbers. If it's sort of in the 9 is 12 range, you're okay. But,
okay.
Watch
all right.
It,
I'll watch for that. Charlie. Minus 12, Brent.
Apparently. Okay. These are very important numbers.
So. It all sounds good. Can I take the earbuds?
Yes, you certainly can.
Leave those in.
We're here at the Imperial Pub, and we have quite a gathering tonight. We have the whole Cast Roller team is here.
Yeah.
They build these, and... William, and apparently Picard 102 has something to do with that as well.
Yes.
But they're not listening.
Well.
They got their iPads. It's
they have other things going on.
Yeah, there's other
we can call them up later, you know, one
we can
by
call
one
them
and
up.
Get a little thing.
And
I think
Sam.
That's better to do that. Let them have their conversation in the background. It makes a nice kind of a drone effect, you know.
A drone under ours.
Under our enlightened, intelligent
right.
yep.
speech. A good part of the vinyl countdown. They are
yes.
regulars, of course, they are here.
Yep. And see, smartly, we're recording earlier in the night this time.
Yes.
And before I know that was my fault last time, but...
For the alcohol had its way to work in, so
yes.
that's good.
Yeah.
This is much smarter.
Should we? Do we owe anything to our listeners, like a cheers, a thank you? For
oh, yeah,
I don't
well,
know
have,
that we even have any bloody listeners. There's not many. You know.
No.
We, have,
we need more comments, I think.
What's his
we
name from Georgia that left the message on the last
yes.
show?
Yeah, oh, well, hats off to our friend Kenneth.
Kenneth, that's
Kenneth.
Right. Sorry.
Kenneth, cheers.
I only
actually sent
one
in a comment. Well, he's actually a big fan of the Dixon James podcast.
Oh, okay. So that was just a pity voicemail?
This. Yeah, this is a spinoff. It's really, I'm really the draw there.
Thanks a lot. He's just listening to
you know what
fan.
Happens with spinoffs, though? Inevitably, it's some other minor personality
yeah.
that ends up being the shining light.
Yeah. Well,
in the spinoffs, generally speaking.
That's that almost sounds like a veiled threat. I was actually hoping, I'll tell you the truth, I was hoping that Gappage would be a better podcast than the Dixon James podcast. Truly, sincerely, that was my hope, that we would actually have gone there. And I think this is something I'd like to talk about tonight, because I think I've been listening to a lot of new podcasts. There's a lot of guy podcasts, a bunch of guys getting together doing stuff. There's countless numbers of
there
them.
There seems to be a bit testosterone heavy here.
It is here, but in other
that
places
when I got
too.
Here, it's kind of
but
sausage fest.
Not only here, but in throughout the whole
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
And everybody has sort of their territory, and I think we really want to be a little more clear about what is the territory of Gappage. And you're good at that. You're saying, well, explore. If your show is Gappage, explore the gaps and have some sort of consistency. Because anybody can get the cheap lines.
Yes.
Anybody can be vulgar and talk about, you know.
We did well with the vulgarity in the last.
We've done that. Let's
yeah,
put
but that
behind
was good.
This.
That was good, though.
All
right, you know,
all right. But I think we should. I think we should. We tried last time to take it up a level, and then you wanted to see how well you could pronounce cock. And so we got derailed from
there.
She did win.
She did win.
I did.
She didn't do so well on cut.
No.
I got cut later, but we cut it out. I lied and used it, so.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So even when you say it now, it's just a word.
Well, no, it was just a word because we're just having a conversation. That's what I'm trying to say.
Anyway, not to derail the conversation, but I think we want to take it up a level to Gappage and explore some.
Okay, and the Gappage really is talking, because I think what's cool about this environment is that we have a whole bunch of different people that are different ages.
Yes.
Is there? Is it, do you want me to listen?
No.
As Ken checks the levels.
Yes.
Okay,
it's right at minus 12. We're good.
Yeah, I think we are good.
That was the whole point of it. That's why Brent and I started doing this thing, because we realized that we had a commonality. And that we both like weed.
That seemed, yeah.
But
and a friendship that seemed incongruous given our age.
Yes, so we expected there would be obvious gaps. You know, so there'd be things to explore, like what are they? You know, this much of it. I get teased a lot here. They talk about the old one. They talk about
it's a sign of respect.
You
think they're ages?
It doesn't bother me at all,
but
it's treated lightly, and I think, hey, let's deal with a little bit of history here. But I don't want it to be about my past. I want it to be about how we view the world now.
Well, can I talk about how we view the world?
Yes.
Now, just an observation about today, because it is my birthday, and Facebook, and all these people that, you know, happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
All
because
the,
they kind of have to.
No, I know, but it's totally change the birthday experience. So I thought what would be kind of neat is to, because everybody has traditions. Like one friend wrote, you know, hope you got brekkie in bed or something like that. And it's like, okay, well, so she's got this tradition, like that's what birthdays mean to her, is getting breakfast in bed. And I thought,
hope your husband licked your pussy kind of thing.
Nobody wrote that.
Sorry. Well,
I haven't got yours yet, though.
Wait, he's had a busy
you're
day.
Husband or some good friend, you know. But
I mean, I gotta say about birthdays, all those birthday messages on Facebook, I make a point of not being one of those people.
I find it a little annoying because it's sort of like Facebook's telling you, here's your friend, it's your birthday. It's
and then it's
birthday.
So, yeah, you wouldn't have known if it wasn't in the sidebar.
Is that how everybody knows?
Oh, yeah,
you it's like you go on and it's like, X has a birthday today.
They get a weekly notice. You know, here's your friends who have birthdays this week. Fuck you.
I don't subscribe to that request. I don't.
Well, I find it
okay,
really
but that's,
almost insulting.
That's what is happening today. Yeah. But is it because of your age that you find that insulting? Maybe
no,
there's people.
I find it insulting too because. You're being told by the system that it's your birthday. I'm one of those people that can't remember birthdays to save my life.
But if you had a day book with everybody's birthday, it would be a reminder.
But then you go out of your way to write that down in the day book.
Yeah, but why shouldn't we just take advantage of new technology if that's going to tell us that when it's
is there any meaning to something? Happy birthday. I hope you have a good one. Best wishes for the year, whole year to come. There's no meaning to it. And
what about all the people who, like, I like this just so it can show up on my feed. I like that Ken did this.
Well, if you really... I like the part.
But then
the whole premise
is the same.
But I don't like... If somebody says, happy birthday, you're a sweetheart, I'm not going to put like. I put like if I actually like something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the like is a good feature.
Like is a good feature because it also removes... And this is getting off track, but it also removes... all of those Me Too comments, and someone will put a thread and be like, hey, that's cool, and you can just do that and say...
And it shows that, hey, somebody's out there, they're acknowledging. I always check to see who liked it.
Those people that took the time to actually write a note, even though they're reminded versus...
But take the time. How much time does it take? Computer tells them it's your birthday, or Facebook tells them, they write...
Happy birthday.
One sentence. There's no feeling. There's no meaning to
it.
Did they do anything for you? Did they give anything for you? They did it. Don't they do that to everybody?
All for using technology and information systems to make life easier. But I think because Facebook then makes it easier to remember birthdays, going on to that person's page to say happy birthday or whatever comes off as a little bit insincere because you go and say that to everyone whenever it's their birthday, even if you're writing on the wall of the friend that you had in high school that you haven't seen in 20 years or something
like that.
Well,
that's creepy.
Yeah.
Now, what I like about Facebook is that you can find... I found an old girlfriend from 40 years ago, who I have not had contact with that person in that time. And was able to find this person and engage in a really interesting, enjoyable conversation and get caught up. And through that, finding another friend from my high school time who was very, very cool at the time. He's frozen in time. He's this handsome young teenager who can play a guitar better than anybody in school. And it's very cool because suddenly this guy just got onto Facebook and said, hey, who are you? So he only remembers. He doesn't know me now. He knows me, the guy in high school. We used to, you know, hang out with him sometimes.
Do you do anything creepy, like go after ex-girlfriends that you really don't like?
I like all my
now?
Ex-girlfriends, so I wouldn't do anything like that.
Do you do any creeping around?
Am I creepy?
That's like instant fail the intern.
Still going?
The creepy part.
Yeah, wow. No, I wouldn't say so. I don't. Right on people's walls, unless they're really someone that I actually see frequently.
It's my first beer.
Yeah. And I'm not creepy, though I will say that I had an ex-girlfriend that found me on... No, she went and found me on Facebook. It wasn't me, and she wrote this really long, nice message, and I still haven't written back to her, and that was like a year ago, and I still think about it, and I still just haven't gone and done it just because... She's doing so well, and I don't think we left on good terms, so...
Well, that's kind of weird that you didn't respond to.
Yeah, no, I couldn't think
that's
of any.
Different from having.
I couldn't think of any way to respond that. I don't know. I just.
Oh, that's your. Got that's your hangout.
I know. You want to. I know it's my hangout.
And now, don't respond to her now because
I won't.
That will be.
I won't.
No. Do respond to her now with a very sincere one. I'm sorry it took me this long because I really didn't know
what to say.
Didn't know what to say.
Well, yeah, like she's.
You still have a chance.
Yeah,
you're coming back.
I don't know, she went off and got married and has a great job and gonna have a kid and she's doing really quite well. And
so maybe you haven't yet sorted out how you actually really do feel about it.
About it.
Her situation. The situation.
We had a long distance thing that I couldn't. It was all on me. I didn't have the emotional maturity to deal with it. And she was going through a bunch of stuff, and I was going through a bunch of stuff. And I, because I couldn't be there for her, it was so much discomfort on me that I had to break up with her, but now she's off and married a nice guy. So
see,
it worked out.
It's fine.
But there's potential.
But there's
for
reasons for everything that happens.
I know, but
there's reasons everything comes into our lives. I mean,
really?
I
now
think
that
so.
Sounds kind of mamby.
I am a little mamby.
Are you reading
I'm a
the secret or something?
You don't know. No, but I do believe that everything happens for a reason. I have a very positive outlook, and I believe that we create what happens to us, and that people come into our lives for a reason, and good or bad. I do.
I like that there's no grounds, there's no rational reason for believing that, but it's still fun to believe. No.
This is how I was raised. My father is a very spiritual kind of pansy kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's got a podcast.
Does he?
Yeah.
Your father has a podcast?
Yes.
This is weird. Now, just backtrack a little. How old today? Your age? I think a lot of our listeners would like to know your real age.
Yeah, I've never claimed my age.
No, I know you haven't. You know.
But since we're on a show called Gap Age, it would be useful to have a marker.
Okay, I'm 41 today.
Oh, 41. Wow. I was going to give you 40.
Oh,
wow. How do you know?
You never know?
No. So what's this podcast? Your father, is he a minister? Is he
No, but he wrote a book.
Oh my God, do you come from one of those intelligent families?
Like, he is very intelligent. Actually, my father's an engineer, so he is very very meticulous and very smart, but he's also into music, and he plays music, and he's very creative. Anyways, he wrote a book, and it's sort of daily readings on, you're supposed to roll a die. It's supposed to be random, and you're supposed to look at your reading for the day. And
like the I Ching.
Yeah, very sort of. I call it spiritual. Anyway,
mamby pamby.
Mamby pamby stuff. So the podcast is spiritual. Yeah. It's a reading of a chapter.
Does he know you do a podcast?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to like that part about eating your pussy. You wouldn't be hearing
he's,
this.
He's
would he?
Pretty. He's pretty low key. Like he's pretty cool. Yeah. He wouldn't have a problem with listening to this podcast. Our podcast. Yeah. No, he'd be fine.
Really.
Yeah.
Probably think I'm a creep.
Yeah, totally.
And almost his age, I'm guessing. He can't be that much.
He's 76.
76, oh, he's way older. Yeah. Thank God. Okay, well, it's kind of cool. Kinda interesting.
So, there you go.
Anything else you'd like to share?
I don't know. I feel like I'm sharing a lot today.
You sure
so
are.
Now you know how old I am and that I have a father.
Yeah. I didn't know you had a father.
What?
There we go.
What's the name of the podcast? Should we know? Or should we, is it private? Is it just for family members?
No. It's out there. He's got some, of all the podcasts I do, he's got the most listeners. So,
what's it called?
Dancing in the Mirror.
Dancing in the Mirror.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good title.
Yeah, that's the name of his book. So.
Really?
Yeah, and I think he's on episode 65.
Wow.
We get together and we record every
you
3 months.
Record with him?
I record his podcast. I'm the voice at the beginning.
Really? Yeah. Why have you never
told us
this before?
Welcome to Dancing the Mirror episode. I do a bunch of podcasts. You guys never asked me.
I believe
I'm feeling a little bit humble. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like, gee, no wonder she's in the high chair.
But you know what? We probably started before she did, so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not really that
that really takes the wind right out of my sails.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't care.
You got to listen. It's a fun little podcast.
Well, I do want to listen.
Yeah, they're very short, 2 minute, 3 minute pieces, like little short listens, and then they're not
better.
Yeah, they're not big ones.
Okay. You want to give us an example? Do you have sort of one little piece of wisdom?
Oh God, no! I'll bring the book next time, and you can read it.
Oh, all right. No, I was just wanting for one. Okay, you back to this. People come into your life for a reason.
Yes, so this is the girlfriend. Yes, and it's been passed on to me. So, you know, we learn from every experience that we have in life. We might not like the experience, but we learn something from it. And you learn something from spending time with this girl, and she learned something from being with you that helped her know what she wanted in her relationship.
I'm going to marry that guy.
I got to snatch that guy up. Yeah. So you did something to help her. Well, in the long run. So you can't apologize for anything.
In a similar way, I had a piece of advice that I still remembered about relationships that I got, in that whenever you're in a relationship with someone, what you're doing is testing your boundaries for what you will and won't put up with. And after you've had a relationship with a person, you now have your boundary better defined. So even if it ended poorly, you then know that this is the line here. This is up with this I will not put. And
you're absolutely right.
And that has always stuck with me. And even in relationships ending poorly, at least it's sort of given me a different way to frame those thoughts, because it's sort of establishing what it is you're actually looking for and need.
I think when you're talking about these people come into your life, you mean actually play a role of some significance in your life. Not just every casual encounter you have, like not half the people just sitting here who we may or may not engage in conversation with. But
I think it's less impact.
Less impact.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it has some bearing, but...
Is there any value to the people? Like, there's a guy across from me in my desk today who just talks really loudly on the phone. And his voice, everything about him is annoying. And I know it's so irrational, and he's probably a very nice guy, and I feel it's so unkind of me to resent him and want to punch him in the face just for the stupid voice.
Is that
voice.
What you're saying when you're like, fuck him, fuck him?
Yeah, well, it's that kind of thing, and it's really petty. So I feel a little bit of guilt attached to it, and yet...
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, like, I shouldn't be bothered by this. Hey, just let him be. He's just being himself. Why should I be so annoyed? But it's that his desk is across, and he speaks loudly, and I think he's an asshole. Why don't you shut the fuck up? Hey, this is not about work. You're talking to your mother.
Is he arrogant on the phone? Is that what bothers you?
A little bit
arrogant.
I think it is. I think it is. It's not just the voice. It's a little bit.
It's like, I want everybody to hear what I'm talking about because
I'm important.
I don't know that it's that, but it's just I'm oblivious to the fact that other people can even hear me. I'm not sensitive enough to even know that what I'm saying is going around the whole damn office.
Or that I am so important that it doesn't matter that I'm louder than
I think
everybody.
He knows he's not so important, but and doesn't really care. I mean, but it's just, I don't want to derail the conversation, but I find people like that are annoying, and I don't know if that tests my limits or not.
Did you mean to say that?
Did I mean to say what?
Little people like that.
Little, yeah, did you just offend all the little people in the audience?
Actually, he is, come to think of it. No? Interesting.
Or maybe he just has a big voice to compensate.
Could be. It could be.
Oh, it's my birthday.
I'll tell him that. I'll see it. Now I have a little more ammunition to put him down with. You know.
But you want to know why he's in your life and what his feeling that it actually impacts you?
Not really. And that's why this is kind of a change.
Well, what my dad would say? You want to know what my dad would say?
Yes.
He would say, you have to ask yourself why this bothers you so much.
I know, I agree. Because I think people come late to a meeting. It really bothers me. And that's why I fit so well in Japan. Hey, these are the rules. Follow the fucking rules. And this is why it shocks me. I think I'm this hip, this hippie time, but I'm
but
a real
not.
Fascist. I'm a real Nazi.
That's funny.
And when I see you've got a meeting and it's important and everybody knows... And people walk in 10 minutes late with their coat, bushing past people and interrupting and causing commotion. Why? There's no need for it.
That I think really you're making assumptions. I don't know. I'm not. You know, I don't get so pissy when someone shows up late for a meeting.
Because you're the kind to be late, too.
Not necessarily, but I but can be.
Well,
I can be.
Yes, you are, and you wouldn't care.
No, because your assumptions on what's important to me, you're throwing your assumptions of what's important to you onto me.
I'm saying these are societal norms. These are
societal
norms are bullshit. In Western culture, be on time.
And societal norms without reason are stupid.
But there are reasons for it, because everybody has busy lives. And so when the meeting starts at 10, we finished at 12, so you can have a lunch and get ready for the next meeting. Hey, it's a convenience for everybody. And not being on time inconveniences other people. It's selfish behavior.
What
being
about,
late is selfish.
What about blackberrying in meetings and stuff?
Oh, I got yelled at in a meeting.
But you
fuck
know.
You. I write my notes on my phone. I have Office on my phone. That's where my notes are.
That's not such a big deal.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm more. That's not an issue. Lateness is.
But
anyway, this is not about me. People coming into your lives, testing your
lives. Exactly. So you will not put up with unpunctual people. It's a wonder we're on the show.
I mean, I live in a world where people are unpunctual. I'm just saying these little things, like talking too loudly on the phone, coming late to meetings, taking up more space than you need to. These are, I find people should be considerate. And again, that's why I love Japan so much. People realize, hey, we've got 120 million people on a very small piece of land.
But they're small
you better
people,
follow
so.
Some rules. Well, they're not.
So,
you will get
think?
Along better as a society and will be more progressive if everybody follows rules and we can teach these rules at a very young age. So part of that frightens me a little bit because that is almost, you know, neo-Nazism. It's a fascist behavior.
No,
Germany,
I mean,
great. Hitler brought the trains on time. People love that.
Oh my gosh.
Well, they did. Oh,
why
Germany,
are
when you have a 1938 issue of National Geographic. When you see Berlin in 1938, before everybody knew the things that were happening, wow, it had reached its peak. And Americans are in awe of this powerhouse and what he had done by taking that country from the ashes. People forget that. They only remember the war and the after effects of the camps. But what the greatness, the 36 Olympics, the greatness of Berlin at that time and what he had done and the beauty of those big banners and the swastikas. Decorating all the buildings, you know, it looked wonderful. Only now we say, oh, that's the swastika, that's the Nazis. But, so I think within ourselves, I find that when I was in Nigeria, people were, oh, I don't know, we should do this. Everybody's trying to be the hippy dippy right thing, nobody can make a decision. And that's when you almost want a fascist dictator to say, hey, we're doing this now.
Yeah. Rule by committee just delays rather than. Making decisions.
That was kind of our audience. They do this every show. They move further and further.
And then they're going to
are we interrupting
room.
Them?
What's that?
Are we interrupting them?
Or it's just that we're very boring.
Are we boring?
I think we'll move to another.
I think this would be better. I don't know. Maybe we should be moving. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we should wrap it up.
Well, maybe. Oh, no, it's actually. They're recording.
Oh,
they're recording.
Oh. We shouldn't take such offense to this.
No.
Look,
I don't.
See,
I know.
This actually ties in beautifully to how
I think it's very
things.
Considerate. I respect them for that. I was very considerate of them to move to another section and start recording. So I admire and respect that. That was the right thing socially to do.
But you were upset last time when they up and left.
No, I was joking about that. I was drunk. I was upset about everything.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying when the activity
let's get a little more meat into the show. I think we're missing something substantial.
We're light. Well, here's the problem: we do agree on a lot of these different things. So, you know, when you get agreement, it tends to be like, oh, yeah, you're right, yeah, that's great.
I like those little toys, yeah. Hey, whoa, you started to hit harder. Last time you hit hard, too. It's lucky it's
oh, I do hit hard.
You do.
I had a big brother, so.
Yeah.
I'm used to
it. Look at your husband's covered in bruises. No. Oh? He fights back?
He doesn't
bug
me.
He doesn't
bug me.
Oh, he doesn't bug you.
I don't need to hit him.
Okay. He's scared shitless.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe. Right.
So, Brent?
Yes?
Pick up the ball?
I got nothing.
You got nothing? You haven't thought about a single Babbage?
You agree with me on everything. And then shit on me when I say something, so you come with
No, I'm not tonight. I'm being polite. I'm being understanding, and I'm being tolerant. And I'm putting you on the spot, as I always do. I think a little bit of... You need a little bit of pressure. You need that kind of thing, right?
Yes, I do.
You do. Dance. Otherwise, you'd just be a slacker.
Yes.
You don't want to be a slacker.
Yeah. No, I thought I could just hitch my train to your podcast train, and
I have to be the Brit sometimes.
Yeah.
That's why we need you as kind of a transition to ease the thing, you know, sort of like a little bit of a, I was going to say buffer. A vibrator between us. I don't mean a vibrator. I mean a, what? What am I trying to say here?
Divider?
The vibrator? Divider?
No, a cushion.
A cushion.
A cushion. Nice and soft.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I'm the cushion.
I'm awkward now. Well.
Oh, well, that's life.
Yes.
Okay, so New Year's resolutions. We have to have this conversation. I'm sorry, we have to. I know it's kind of expected, but Brent, New Year's resolutions? Any plans for the New Year? Now, did you do like a Movember?
I did do a Movember, and then I kept it through December. And then everyone tells me I look like.
I've encouraged him to keep it. I think it looks good.
Are we going
to
go for the whole goatee?
No.
No, just the...
Just the stash.
Just a little tree.
Ferns to go with it. Yeah.
No. You know what? My newest resolution is actually how to figure out how to trim a mustache. Because I tell you, I sit at the mirror and then I'm like, I don't know
what
the fuck to do because I'm going to mess
trimmer.
It up.
You need the trimmer.
I got the trimmer. A bunch of people gave me ideas and I still... I feel awkward about it, and it's going to get like to a point where I have to manage it.
One way you could do it is just shave it off and let it grow back again.
That'll take 3 months again.
Yeah. Oh, did it take a long time?
Yeah.
Well, the more you cut it off, and doesn't it?
No, it doesn't work like a plant.
Actually, you guys are kind of looking like
muff divers.
Yeah. Who wants the mustache ride?
I bought a little from Canadian Tire for $10, and it's a trimmer. And it's got the different blades, and you can use it for your whole beard because I used to have a beard before this came. And you can do it, but it's really easy to screw up. Like you could just get it coming in at the wrong angle and take off.
See, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah. So I don't want to mess it up.
Go to the barber. The barber can do it for you.
Here's the gappage for you. Okay. When you get old, you get stray hairs. Like just suddenly they sprout. You know how ugly it is. A lot of old people you see, you know, on the bus or in the
hospital. You don't have to be that old, actually.
You don't have to be that old. They'll just come at you.
Yeah.
So you end up. You know, my wife used to trim. She used to pull things out for me sometimes. But I found like sometimes you get a mustache hair that just curls right and goes up your nostril and just bugs the hell out of you. So you got to get right up there into the mirror with tweezers and just pull that sucker.
Oh, that sounds painful.
It's not. It
you
feels
can
good.
You get nose hair trimmers.
Oh, yeah. The little one. I've seen those things. Yeah. I don't really need those so much. But the pulling them out with tweezers, it's fun. What I really was fascinated by, and this is a little bit of, you know, slightly different topic, but the deformed hairs that might grow, sometimes you can have a hair that the cell structure is wrong, and it comes out completely black and fake, it's not really a hair or something. It's very rare to have those things. But they're fascinating. If you ever pull one out and look at it, oh my
god,
it's deformed. It's like a little ball, and it's weird. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, you see, now that you know how old I am, I can talk about this because women start to get things like hair, right? Never had before.
Yeah.
And it's like whiskers.
Yeah.
And so I totally know what you're talking about, and it sucks.
It's weird.
So I'll be sporting.
You can give me
I'll be sporting a stash very soon. Just give me time. I'll be right there with you.
It's a weird thing. And then it's just a reminder of, you know, where these bodies. Don't you find that you live so much in your mind? I don't know about you. I don't know about women so much. But I live completely in my mind. And that's why when I get sick and my body pulls me down, I get so depressed because it's a reminder that no, I'm not my mind, I'm not this thinking, I am this body. The body is really who I am, and fuck, I don't have control over this decaying bag of shit. You know, it's just... I'm stuck with it. And this mind is just a little bit of a bonus that comes with it. But I'm really, everything is dictated by the physical body.
You think?
I know.
So if you became completely disabled tomorrow, you'd still have your mind.
It'd be a very unhappy mind. It'd be a very angry mind. And it would be a hell. It'd be like you'd be a prisoner and so on. But you really, you know. To some degree. I mean, you know. You're fighting with your body all the time.
I have.
But I mean, you could be a sports star, and you're not. You know, somebody who lives to. Their whole
so
essence
worse.
Of being is their
yes,
body.
Yes.
And that, you're
so
not in that situation. Come on.
Yeah, no, that's right.
But Bren?
What's that? Huh?
Body,
no.
Mind?
Body, mind. I don't know. I'm more of a mind person than body, but that's, I don't know. I came into this world with a messed up, disabled body, so I've always joked that it would be nice to replace my feet with wheels, because at least then they wouldn't hurt and then they'd be useful.
Do your feet hurt?
Every day.
You haven't talked about this a whole lot.
No.
We've broached it a few times.
I don't want to get
pissed off. No, tell me about
this. Because I think that's the kind of reality. I think we should be talking about, but I leave it to you.
Yeah.
Your
well, I was born with a spinal condition, it's called sacral agenesis, and it's basically the nerves in your tailbone are not there, and they control a number of things, and one of them is muscle growth below the knee, so my shins are really skinny, and I have children-sized feet. And I can't wiggle my toes, and I was born with club feet. And then I had to have surgery to sort of flatten them at a 90-degree angle. So because of all those things, my legs are just fucked up all the time. And I don't know, my parents told me I had something like 20 surgeries before I was 4 or something on the balls. So, yeah, I mean, and that's sort of something I've had to live with and just sort of... Basically, my body, I guess, has come secondary to me because when I got it, wasn't normal or perfect or whatever to begin with. Not like anyone's is, but it seemed like mine was more damaged than others to begin with, kind of thing, you know?
I think this is why I admire and respect you so much, because it's a non-issue. It's non up until now.
Yeah,
it hasn't been talked about. It's a non-issue in the conversation. I didn't know about it until we had that conversation in Montreal. And I thought, he's got a slight limp or something. That's all I noticed. And then we sat down, we got high, and we talked, and you talked about it that first time. And I think I knew you before, but I respected you then, because you're just carrying on. You're still just Brent. You're not defined by that at
all.
And to me, that, I don't know.
When I was in elementary school, I think I sort of resisted against that because there were a lot of teachers that would treat me differently or, you know, I'd be in some gym thing, oh, Brent, you don't necessarily have to do this because whatever, and it's, you just sort of discard those things and try and do everything that you can regardless of that issue. I went on a big senior trip to Italy when I was in my, like, last year of high school, and that was like a big senior spring trip. And one of the events on the trip was to go on like a big long bike ride all day. It was like 100 kilometers or something like that through wine country and shitty roads and then, like, cobblestone and stuff. And I was the last one to get in. I was 2 hours behind everyone else, but at least I did it. And there were a whole bunch of, you know, fat guys and stuff that gave up 20 minutes in. Because they're like, fuck it, I don't want to do it. I'll see you back at the hotel. And at least I finished it. But that trip was actually probably probably the most fun I've had on a trip, but it was a terrible idea because cobblestone and my feet do not go together well. So it was just, I just massacred my feet the whole time, but I didn't want to let it get in the way of being in Italy and doing this trip and having that experience and stuff. So there's a lot of times when I just ignore that discomfort and pain and what have you and just go along with it.
That's very admirable. I don't know how I would handle it. I guess you handle what you have to handle. But wow.
Yeah. So that's the main thing. I have some other symptoms and stuff. I don't feel like discussing them with everyone.
I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's a gappage.
No, but it is a testament to part of what makes people the way they are, right? I mean, you made a... Even if you made an unconscious decision to do it, the human spirit is pretty powerful, really, what we can overcome.
Resilient.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're full of platitudes today.
I am. It's the New Year.
Tell us a little thoughts. And did you do any reflection on your birthday? Did you do any sort of...
No, I haven't had a chance to. I literally finished work, came here, so I'm reflecting. It's a stream of consciousness reflection as you're getting it, as I have it.
This is good.
This is where I'm at.
Is it important to you? Are birthdays something that are noteworthy?
It's funny. Birthdays themselves, I mean, yes, but I love to look back. Like, to me, the idea that I'm 41, to me, I feel like I'm 21. Mm-hmm. So it's, I really enjoy history, my own history, and the world, as you know, what I've learned from what I knew from when I was 21 to what I know now. It's one of my favorite things, is just to look at the world around us and how much has changed. And I think that's my favorite thing, is to say, wow, you know, when I was 18 and I knew somebody who was 41, what were they like?
Yeah.
And how much I didn't understand them. And this is where the gappage, I think, you know, you don't really, even though you can have the same opinions, the perspective. And how old are you, Brent?
I'm 28.
28. And how old are you?
62.
Oh, that's kind of cool, because I'm like right in the middle.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. But I mean, the perspective. Well, you know what I mean. New math.
Also, it's interesting, because we share that in common. I do love seeing things in this perspective.
Yeah.
And seeing how did I look at the world when I was 28? What was the world like at that point? How do I look at it now? How has it changed?
Yeah.
And I think what encourages me about this whole thing, they laugh about being so old, but you're still so alive, and you're still, the world is still so interesting, and you're still learning and understanding and getting new perspectives. I had conversations this week with both my sons, one who will be 19 tomorrow, the other who will be 21 at the end of the month. And that's a whoa, you know, wow, talk about a perspective. This is just change. But they are coming of their own.
Yeah.
And almost think it was a turning point for both of them, the conversations I had, that suddenly, wow, these guys have grown up now. Time for me to be listening more. They are teaching me. And it was a real, I was happy about it in a way.
It was hard to let go.
Well, is that too, but it was just, I don't know, recognizing that people mature, age, learn things, and that we continually have things to learn. Our children do teach us, for sure.
I had what felt like to me, similar to where your kids are sort of growing into their own. It felt like over Christmas, my dad and I hit some sort of milestone, and I'm sure he doesn't even notice this, but we're not super close anymore, and we were just sort of sitting around. It was me, him, and my brother talking about just how relaxed we are, because it was Christmas break, and my dad went off on vacation. He was supposed to go back to work, but he worked for himself, so he just said, fuck it, I'm just going to take till the New Year's off. And I was taking till New Year's off, and it was just, I did nothing over Christmas break. I played video games and felt great about it.
I edited a podcast, a really long, stinking podcast.
And you did a fantastic job.
Sorry, no, this isn't about me.
Well, let's get back.
Kudos.
This is Brent's relationship with his father,
but
not
yes.
Your fucking editing skills.
This isn't about me.
It was just a simple thing, but he said to my brother was having trouble understanding why, when, you know, 5 o'clock or whenever you leave work comes around, why doesn't that just turn off and you can do your own thing? And my dad just said, you know, Alex, when you get to the sort of job that, because my dad's a lawyer, and so he's in the service industry, and I'm a web designer, so I deal with that too. So I'm sort of, when you do something that isn't like retail or something like where you're you can sort of clock
in
at 5.
Clock out.
That work doesn't go away just because it's 5. You're thinking about the next project or the project that is due next week that you have no time for, or where is the new project going to come from? And all of these things are in your head all the time.
And how are you going to pay the mortgage? And how are you going to feed the kids? And how are you gonna
it's just there. But it was nice to just have my dad, I think, recognize that that's what it's like for me, because I think he just sees me freaking out about my job all the time and stuff. And it was just, he just said it to my brother, like, yeah, when you get, you know, that.
Oh, he was sort of defending you.
Yeah, my brother was trying to understand why we couldn't relax when it's like a weekend or whatever, because he used to live with me a couple years ago.
And how old is your brother?
He is 22.
And so he's still in the world of life is beautiful.
He's going through school working retail and stuff on the weekends kind of thing and having a good time. But I guess he just never realized that. Once you get into the real working world, it's like...
Oh, that real world that everybody speaks of.
Yeah, like once you're there, though, it's like it doesn't. I said to my brother, it's like, you know how you have that assignment that you're thinking that's due at the end of the month? That thought is there forever, every day, every week. You get to the weekend, and then you're thinking about what's happening next week. And
does it bother you that that's how you feel, or do you enjoy that? Do you revel in that? Do you like the idea of, like, ooh, I've got something new coming up?
I'm bothered by it when it's not work that I find interesting or redeeming. Maybe. So, I don't know. I'm kind of in a weird place where I don't know where I am and how to make myself happy. But just having that sort of connection with dad and having him acknowledge that.
The crux
of the story is that, like, he seemed to acknowledge that I'm an adult now and I have an adult job and I'm beginning to have some of the stresses.
He relates.
Yeah. And it was just like, wow, I didn't say anything to him about it really, which sort of conversation went away, and I was walking home with my brother, and I was like, did you notice that thing he said? And he's like, what? He's like, that thing about how when you leave your job, it doesn't go away. And like, that was such a big thing, and he still didn't get what Dad was talking about, but it was so much more significant to me, because it seemed
like... Did you tell your dad?
No.
Why not?
Anyway.
It's a guy.
It's kind of hard.
Did your guys tell you? Did your boys tell you something?
My son just... This is the son who took off for California. Just bought a ticket and headed off to San Diego because he wanted to.
On the bus.
And I realized afterwards, gee, when I went off to Europe, I just told my parents I'm going, and they tried to talk me out of it, and when he realized I wasn't going to be talked out of it, he supported me, and I realized I did the same thing for my son in a very similar way. So that was kind of cool. When he came back, we had a really good conversation, and the drive, and you have a drive, and somebody's beside you, and I talked about his mother, you know, my wife, and her elopement, and things that he hadn't heard before, and he's saying, write this stuff down, man. It's out there on podcasts. But more importantly was the conversation with my younger son, who's going to be 19 tomorrow, and just kind of a breakthrough of issues that, gee, I wasn't seeing things the right way at all. And suddenly I saw things from his perspective, and it was so different, and it opened up my eyes, and I realized, wow, this is, I should have had my eyes open a long time ago. I should have been more understanding. So it was good in that it was a learning, and it was good that he recognized that I was beginning to understand him better. And that was a long time coming, but very important. So I guess maybe the lesson is we should never give up, that we have to keep working at relationships, and it's worth the effort and time, especially when it's family or close friends.
And perspectives change.
Yes.
Perspectives change, because the most significant thing you both said is that it's perspective. It's, you're at a time that, you know, your younger brother totally doesn't get it. His perspective is like, whatever, why can't you just shut off? Like, it's a job. Who cares? Now's the time to party. That's his perspective. Your dad totally gets where you're at. It's his perspective. You coming around to where your son is at and seeing things from his perspective, that you know, that's through your experience of growth, right?
You seem to be sitting in kind of a special chair tonight, high above the rest of us. Great wisdom.
I'm not what? I'm just
and
listening.
We've become these little puppets on our own show, you know, being controlled.
I like that she summarized our epiphanies.
You know, it's kind of cool, like, because it's kind of going. I like things that come full circle. I like a good quality structure, back to structure and organization and being on time.
Yes.
I like structure in a podcast. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. I like to
we've
introduce.
Created a monster.
I like to introduce, set the stage, and conclude.
That's an excellent storytelling skill.
It is a storytelling skill, and it's.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the people when they do presentations, and the rule is, tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them. Oh, that's so clever. That's so clever.
Yeah,
you know?
but
we don't do that on a podcast.
No, I know.
You don't tell them what you're going to tell them. You just
tell them. But if you do it,
no, we don't, because we don't know what we're talking about. We have no idea what conversation.
When I did a podcast where I knew what I was talking about, I would sometimes mention it, but this is totally
the story of this
kind
of podcast.
Said, well, so what are we
going
to talk about? So, and then you said, okay, Brent, over to you. That in and of itself is doing that. It's like, okay, so we're going to send it over to Brent. Brent's going to tell us something that we're all going to talk about. In a way,
No, it is.
Because
you have no idea what Brent's going to say, and I was only teasing. I wanted to make him squirm a little.
And I did.
And it worked.
It did. And
just that little bit of pressure,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like putting your finger on a wound and squishing it. But anyway, so I wonder what our listeners think of all this. I'd be curious to know from the listener perspective is, holy shit, that intern has completely got those guys by the balls. She's running that show.
No.
But maybe she's making it better, in which case it's worth it.
I would like to think that she is. You know, it's just that we've got to keep it in perspective. We don't want to be, replaced. On this show.
All right, now you're overdoing it.
I know. If nothing else, you do need a girl. I mean...
Yeah, we need a little...
A girl. At 41, you can still call yourself a girl? I would say a woman, maybe. Perhaps. But.
A matron?
Brent? You're ganging up on me.
Well, no, but we're just trying to keep a balance here.
I feel worse at all.
Brent and I add up to one hole against you. You know,
one asshole.
You're celebrating the power and glory you have.
I like the high
sitting
chair
up there on your high throne.
Well,
we just set up. I got to admit. Now I arranged the position.
I know
so
you did.
Let's not completely lose perspective.
You planned for me to be in the high chair, so I'd feel a little bit of power.
I certainly did.
A little power.
It's your birthday, and I want to give you a special treat. And your treat is we're letting you talk on the show without a whole lot of dissing and insulting. So I hope you appreciate our gift. It's much better than one of those Facebooks, you know. Oh, happy birthday, dear. I hope you have a great day.
Nobody said happy birthday, dude. I can assure you.
I said dear.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Well, there we go.
Are we tying this one up?
I think we should, given the.
Other people,
I feel sorry for those guys. They're just sitting there doing nothing. They got a podcast going. We got one here. Why don't you come up and introduce yourself? You never.
At least you're
prepping. Oh, okay.
They're prepping for their show. Yeah.
Tried to get Bill Dees on the show, but he wouldn't come up. So,
yeah, what does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, it's Castro. I mean, these guys are in a different league.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
It's Campbell. I'm back. I don't know if that's a threat or promise.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But, how are we doing? How are we doing for time?
I don't know. We're about
51 minutes. So
that's
51.
We was a good place to wrap off, given that we tied it up.
I think what will be funny, when Bill comes back, we won't let him on.
We'll be done.
Because we need about 5 minutes in the end here. So. Is there anything else that, like, I really do think about the listener, and I really do think, especially on the Dixon James show, about giving something to them. So when they finish, they say, geez, I'm glad I listened to that. And I think it's very important that Gappage tries and maintains that, as opposed to, say, for example, the BFF show, which is, they haul out disgusting stories.
Yeah,
Mike and what's his name, the guy in Edmonton, that black guy, what's his name?
I don't know.
Sean.
Right, yes.
AJ. They don't listen to this show, by the way. I know Mikey does, but I don't think Sean does.
I give him the heads up, but he's a busy man, so...
He's a busy man, he's got important things to do. He's got a dog, he's got a... And a pet. No, he's got a dog, he's got a girlfriend. And I met them both. They're both lovely.
Yeah.
Did you give them both pats?
Sorry.
I did. All right, well, we had a guest, and gee, we're just running out of time, but
I think we're allowed to extend our own show.
You decided to go.
Do you even know what show this is, Bill?
I think I know what show you do.
Which one?
This is Gappage?
This is Gappage. Ooh. And do you know the theme, what it is we do on this, try to do on this show?
I certainly do.
What is that?
Try to show the differences between the two different ages.
Well, this guy's good. Oh. Sounds like a listener. We might have more listeners.
Oh, my God. We found the elusive listener.
And we've been exploring a few tonight. I confessed at the beginning that sort of being a bit of a fascist. I really like people to be on time. And
my grandfather always said, if you're on time, you're 5 minutes late.
Ooh.
My grandfather said that too.
Now, would they be from the same country? Where was your grandfather from? What's your background? From where?
From Holland.
Latvia.
Yeah. So probably an old school European thing.
Maybe.
Right? And it was very punctual. Are you a believer of the if you're on time, you're 5 minutes late?
I'm chronically early.
So you are.
Oh, really?
I'm chronically early.
How do you manage that?
Here, I couldn't control it, but even then, we were still here, what, quarter to
before
six.
It even started, yeah.
But Will wasn't off work until 4 o'clock, so we made it here. Because
wow. That's amazing.
I'm one of those people. I hurry all the time.
That actually is my New Year's resolution, to be early everywhere I go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I had some people trying to convince me to be late. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I can't do it. I'm always giving myself excuses to leave later, and I tried the like setting your watch to a different time, but then I'm like, no, I know what time it actually is, and then
if you're riding a subway or something, do you sort of get antsy before your stop, like knowing, okay, now I'm going to have to get up now and plan my exit to get on, like that kind of early?
No, I want to leave on time. I arrive right on time. I'm always like.
See,
which is
I got
so
the Japanese
dangerous.
Conditioning. Like, you have to be 10 minutes early. And in fact, usually you're an hour early because you go and you scout where is it you have to meet.
Drive by it once, go down the road, grab a
check
coffee.
It out, yeah.
Yeah, I
want
to be that person.
Next
because
to the place
really
that you're going
productive.
To.
You know what?
I want to be that person.
Definitely.
Ridden enough bus lines because I don't drive and take public transit that I don't like being early because of bus schedules and shit. So many times early to appointments and I just have to, like, waste time that it's just
no, but
is upsetting to me. I don't
the
like
whole, the premise of being early though is that you use the time wisely. What do you do when you're early?
When I was early to pick Will up today, I was reading stuff on my iPad. I find
like
something you're reading
up,
catching up on the emails.
Yeah, you can use it. It's not wasted
like,
time.
It's not wasted time. It's
especially,
actually set aside
especially now that
time.
We all have these things. I mean,
it's set aside time to do some of the things that you might actually do before you leave that you could actually do when you're on the road.
But I take public transit, so I'm doing things the whole time I'm on the road anyway.
Some of our listeners might not know who Bill Dees is. Do you want to introduce yourself and just in what it is in your life that you do? You're wearing a t-shirt, a sweatshirt that says Cast Roller.
I do a lot of things.
Cast Roller is important.
I'm the evangelist for Cast Roller. I started the Geek Dinner in London.
You have a geek dinner?
Yeah, we do something like
that. Eat a geek.
A week earlier.
Oh, really?
First Wednesday of every month. We do a geek dinner.
You should road trip it to London.
Yeah.
Go to geek
dinner. Well, you got to go to PodCamp London because you organize that too.
Yeah, I'm the founding organizer of PodCamp London as well. Startup Camp London this week. I do lots of stuff.
Are you going to do a Creator Camp London? Like on the model that they've put out there? Do you think Creator Camp's going to take off?
It certainly will.
Yeah.
For other reasons, I'm not going to.
Okay. I'm trying to get the guys in Windsor to do Creator Camp Windsor. They say, no, we're going to do our own thing.
That's part of it. You know, as much as I love the idea and stuff, I want to come up with something a little different. Because I like the idea of what that is. I think there's just far too many camps out there.
Yeah.
But I think there's way too many camps. And actually, people in London are getting kind of sick of it. Not to say it's not a bad model. I just... and truthfully, you know what? I don't want to be the person doing it again. Because I do all sorts of stuff in London with Geek Dinner and PodCamp.
Well, it's also a bit of a conflict, too, because, I mean, part of Creator Camp, the theme was, well, let's get away from the PodCamp that's been hijacked by the monetizer and so on. Now, I didn't find that at all. I went to PodCamp London last year. I had a great time. The party was phenomenal.
PodCamp London was very different because the attitudes in London are very different. We're a little bit behind the curve when it comes to social media stuff. I think we're getting there now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The other thing is, I think we're not quite as much marketing PR in London as here in Toronto.
So you've got a lot of marketing PR people coming out to PodCamp Toronto.
Oh, there
you
was.
Actually got
we had our fair. We had our fair share.
Yeah, there was.
We had our fair share, but there was. It's kind of the same thing. The same thing you find at PodCamp Toronto, where there's kind of different groups and you know, the kind of old school podcasters and stuff have the little subgroup, and we kind of know where we're all hanging out, which session rooms we're in. I think it was like that. It was just bigger in London is all it was. The percentages were a little different. So
what I liked about it was there were so many people I didn't know from the usual circuits and so on. Like, it was new to me, the whole
you know what?
Situation. Aside
from
people...
Aside from a handful of people from London, there wasn't a lot of people from Toronto. There wasn't a lot of people that came in from out of town. I can probably count on one hand the people that came. I mean, the people that you know came down because they've been to PodCamps and stuff before. You know, and the, there was some people that came from Toronto that had never been to a PodCamp and had just heard about PodCamp and missed PodCamp Toronto. You know, wanted to come on and stuff like that.
So you're gonna do it again this year?
Yep, it's gonna happen again this year. Third time. Third time's a charm.
When's it?
Maybe it'll be good this time.
When's it usually done? When is it?
Usually around April or May. We don't
April or May. Well, I thought it was great last time. And the party you organized at the Seeps, that was got to be one of the best parties. Bill had tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Had
that was a good time.
Chicks. Well, you were there.
I forgot their names. And I was trying to...
Around
I forgot their names,
so
but
that
he was...
Bar
he had these chicks
different.
Mac.
Oh, yeah.
You missed it. He was like... He was player. Get all these hot girls trying to talk to him, and then I
you know what started
like he's in. I'm like, hey, I host a
you
show
know
with this
started
guy.
It off? I took a shit in the girls' washroom in this beautiful place, and by mistake, I thought, gee, that's all this new urinals. These places, London's
oh,
way
yes.
ahead of us. I got these lines of stalls, and I took a morning dump that was pretty foul. Walked out, and oh shit, there's a girl just walking in here. So that was my opening line for my presentation. Well, all the chicks were interested, you know. So I said, hey, it's going to be a good party tonight. You know the kind of guy you're going to meet. The kind of guy who takes, likes to take a dump in the ladies' washer. Well, they're into that.
You know, you're not creepy at all.
I'm not
oh,
creepy. Anyway, I went up to Bill, and he handed me a bunch of tickets, so I was able to buy drinks for all these ladies.
Oh, you know? That's why.
Oh, yeah. That helped.
We overplanned for the party. We had more budget allocated to the party. So
it was
always a good decision.
And where was this?
Downtown London at the Seeps, actually.
The Seeps.
It's a notorious dive.
It's a
I went to school in London. Boy, I can't remember much. I went to Fantasy.
I had
that's
it described.
That's why you've never heard of the Seeps.
I had it
Seeps
described.
Western, you'd know.
To me.
Oh, okay.
The Seeps is the Western hangout.
Oh, yeah. That's why.
I know it by reputation. I didn't go to Western. So.
Oh, okay.
I had heard it from friends described as it's the place where freshman girls from Western go to make poor decisions.
It certainly is, because they have about the cheapest beer in town.
And they come in drunk. This is the thing that blew my mind. All these young kids, suddenly, the
yes.
doors open.
Now,
they all got drunk before they came to the bar.
I don't know if this is just
hey,
a London thing.
How you doing?
But, yeah, they all drink before they come to the bar.
That amazed me. I mean,
the parents
just
jungle
London,
juice or something?
Thing.
No, they call it pre-drinking. No, the students do it in res and stuff, too.
Yeah.
They buy a Mickey, drink that at their hotel room to say, or their dorm room or something to save money, and then they go to the bar.
So
they have one up, or two
so,
drinks at the bar.
So they do the same thing as you.
Well, these women showed up. I couldn't believe it.
They
were
loaded.
No,
oh, yeah.
I still have pictures on my iPhone from that time.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Oh God!
If you go to any bar, the thing is they don't show up to bar. I mean, we go to a pub. You go to a pub at 6-7 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
Now that nobody shows up, you
yeah.
go down, walk down Richmond Road there. There's nobody there at 9 o'clock. 10:30 is everybody starts showing up, and you have to know the schedule because certain bars are certain nights.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah, it's London.
Well, I'm clearly out of the loop in London then.
Well, you're going to come to PodCamp London this year. We'll do a
yeah,
we'll do a gag.
Do
we'll talk about. We should do a panel. Talk about the nature of this podcast or something.
Yes.
Well, I didn't how to win at podcasting at PodCamp London.
How to get an intern at podcasting.
Well,
there you go.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then she won't show up.
Well, hey, we're nothing without you, dude. It's her birthday today, too. So
I heard that.
She knew the best way to celebrate it was hang out with the boys.
Yeah. We do have, you know, I don't know if we can put a call out to anybody who's a woman to come to a podcaster night at the Imperial Pub.
We could do it with a couple more.
There is no girls.
I thought the ninja was going to show up.
Yeah.
Really, and there are some others that said that they said they would show up later. So.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's just too early.
Maybe.
It might be, yeah.
All right. So you want to...
wind it down? And
do you have anything else for Bill?
Well, I think Bill gave us a lot. I appreciated that. Yeah. Do you have anything else you'd like to say to our guests?
Not at all. Not at all.
Colin just showed up. I think he might be a little late to the game.
I think so.
To the discussion.
Yeah.
But I will say that what he said about London holds true in Toronto as well, with certain bars being on certain nightly schedules.
And if you go to the wrong bar on the wrong night.
It's empty.
Really?
So give us an example.
I did that one time. I called my sister. I'm like, we're at such and such. Isn't the place supposed to be busy? She's like, oh, no, it's Thursday night. They're not busy till Saturday. Okay.
Well, that makes sense.
Now, if you're looking for the crowd tonight, you got to go to such and such. I'm like, no, I'm not leaving. it's bad.
Wow. My brother's been a Humber student for the past 4 years, and they have a nightly schedule based on popularity for the bars. So I think Thursday is London Tap House, and Saturday was another
like a
one.
Posted schedule?
At least
close to it.
That might be another spin-off of this new technology, though, right? Like, you can just let people know, okay, hey.
Because you don't even need to know, you don't even need to call anybody. Everybody just knows this night, it's there.
But how do they know?
It's just the way it's been forever.
Young people are different. This is where it gets different. Like, that at age,
well, for starters, in the dorm rooms, they're all drinking in the dorm rooms before they go out together. So, I mean, there's a big group of them in the dorm room before they leave to go somewhere.
It's not like that guy that was yelling on the phone across from you is going like, I'm going to the Imperial Pub tonight! So Ken's like, hey, everybody's going to the Imperial tonight. We gotta go. We're now talking phone guys going to the Imperial.
I don't recall that.
No, it changes as you get older. This is a good gap. When you're young, you talk about these things. Loud talking phone guy doesn't.
We're good. And so you're going to do a podcast tonight of your own?
I think Will and I are going to do the Casserole podcast.
Okay, so I think we'll vacate. We'll clear the stage.
We'll roll
this.
This is kind of a nice way
to do it. Like, we're had you on here.
We were talking before. I asked Will. I said, how do we get an intern? He goes, I think I already have two interns, me and John.
He doesn't need any more.
We have to thank, GamePad?
Yes.
For getting us our intern. Yeah, yeah, worked out well.
I don't even know how you made that happen. I just showed up and you're like, I'm an intern.
The thing you do is you have a few drinks and light up a joint before you get on the boat. And you're set for a good ride. You can't smoke on the boat, apparently.
No.
Not that
no,
one.
But,
I wasn't part of that, smoking.
No, I was, no.
No.
I was
oh,
fine.
I see. You smoked a joint before getting on the boat cruise. Thereby,
I got an idea. We were trying to find some place to sneak and go do that before we got on the boat, and there was, like, no place for, like, just... fuck it, let's just sit here.
We're not the bench, and everybody file past. You can smell what?
I bet you can.
I didn't invite anybody over.
No, you didn't. I was one of those people who walked by
you. Oh, that's right.
And she said, those guys look like a good time.
She said, I want to work with those guys.
I was scoping it out. See, I was early. So I was scoping out the landscape and said, yeah, those are the guys.
Well, as you said before, full circle, it all works out in these things, the people you meet.
Yes.
And I know you're feeling very happy tonight. You can reflect on how lucky you are that we picked you out on that boat cruise. And said, there's our intern. I know.
I'm so moved.
I know.
That just...
Hold it back. Hold it back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Can we end? Can we
stop? I think we can end,
now.
Have our listeners had enough.
Bye.
Yep.
Episode 15. See you later.
Thank you. And next up, the Casseroler. Yep. Bye for now.
Bye.
that there's no truth, and who cares? How come you say it like you're right? Why are you scared to dream of God when it's salvation that you want? You see stars that clear have been dead for years, but the idea just lives on in our wheels that roll around as we move over the ground. And all day it seems we've been in between a past and future town. We are nowhere and it's now. We are nowhere and it's now. In like a 10-minute dream in the passenger seat while the world was flying by. I haven't been gone very long, but it feels like a strange at night. Side effects they don't advertise. I've been sleeping so strange with a head full of pesticide. I've got no plans and too much time. Feel too restless to unwind. I'm always lost in thought as I walk a block to my favorite neon sign, where the waitress looks concerned, but she never says a word. Just turns the jukebox on and we hum along and I smile back at her, and my friend comes after work when the features start to blur. She says these bars are filled with things that kill, but now you probably should have learned. Did you forget that yellow bird? Oh, how could you forget your yellow bird? And she took a small silver wreath and pinned it onto me. She said, this one will break.